Expect another global pandemic in our lifetime if things don't change. That's the grim takeaway of a big story from the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica. Caroline Chen is ProPublica healthcare reporter and the lead author of a story titled "The Next Deadly Pandemic is Just a Forest Clearing Away." Caroline, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
You start your story in the West African nation of Guinea in a place called Meliandou, where villagers have been cutting down patches of dense forest, creating an environment that's ripe for the spread of virus. In fact, this was ground zero for the worst Ebola outbreak the world has seen in 2013. Why did you start there?
I started working on this story because I was just curious, you know, what leads to outbreaks? Should I expect more epidemics in my lifetime? And one of the things that I learned is that scientists are increasingly finding links between deforestation, habitat loss, degradation of important forests, and outbreaks starting. And that's something that has been seen with a number of Ebola outbreaks, that link between deforestation and those outbreaks starting.
So tell us more about that. So much forest is cut down, it can't sustain wildlife, and the animals then spill out into the human population, and viruses are transmitted.
Yeah, so one of the most interesting things I learned from scientists is that it's not just the net number of trees lost that is the problem, but it's how we cut down the forest. Mm. So there's this concept that they have of edge, which is when you're cutting a forest in little patchy ways. So imagine like Swiss cheese, you're taking out a lot of different holes, or you're cutting a lot of roads through it. You're creating a lot of boundaries and edge areas where humans and wildlife are more likely to be able to meet. So that's more dangerous than if you just, you know, took a patch out of the corner of a forest where you're not really disturbing the majority of the forest. And the other interesting thing I learned is that oftentimes there are forms of wildlife and animals that just won't survive deforestation. But the ones that are really good at adapting and persisting include rats and bats. And rats and bats are known to be the host reservoirs for many of the diseases that we're worried about turning into outbreaks in humans.
Which is what happened in Meliandou when a bat bit a toddler. And that's how it started, right?
Yeah, so we don't actually know exactly what happened. We know that patient zero was a toddler called Emile Wamano. And we also know scientists who went there shortly after the outbreak started learned that kids were playing in this tree that was host to a large colony of bats. It could be that a bat ate a piece of fruit that fell to the ground. You know how toddlers are always sort of crawling around, putting their fingers in their mouths. So the exact way the virus managed to, it's called a spillover, jump from the host animal to Emile is not known, but that is the prevailing theory that he got it, you know, playing in this tree.
So the World Health Community then rushed to Meliandou to respond medically to this emerging Ebola crisis. Was there a similar response from the conservation community to the issue of deforestation once people started seeing these links to Ebola?
So unfortunately, what I found in my reporting is no. And that this is sort of a pattern that we get into when there's an outbreak. We're very good at flying doctors in, rushing to contain the spread. Tons of reports were written about what we should do better next time. They all focused on the biomedical response. How can we better develop vaccines and treatments? How can we get doctors there sooner? How can we even like catch and watch the spread sooner? But almost nobody was in the room who had the expertise to talk about how does this start in the first place? And then we really have to think about what is the reality for people who are living on the ground. Because if you go to Meliandou and you tell people, hey, don't cut down your forests like this anymore, they'll say, well, we need to live. You know, this is the way that they feed themselves. This is the way that they get income to pay for medication for their kids and for their families. You can't just say, stop cutting down trees. So there needs to be a more holistic solution.
And it's not as simple as saying, well, let's plant new trees, right? There was a program called Stop Spillover in Uganda that ran into some trouble. Tell us why that was a cautionary tale.
The villagers pointed out that they rely on these cacao crops that the bats pollinate. And they were worried that if, you know, you reforested and drew the bats away from humans, which is good from an outbreak perspective, that it would hurt their harvest. So this is the kind of tension that is happening as people think about how to intervene.
So briefly then, what do agriculture experts say needs to be done?
So I think there are a number of different solutions. I think one of the things that is, you know, we showed our photos and reporting to agriculture experts in Guinea, and some of the things they suggested were planting cover crops and rotating the crops through different parts of the field so you can slow down soil erosion and sort of keep the nutrients in the soil. You know, these are not super novel ideas, but unfortunately for a lot of people, like the residents in Meliandu, they don't have access to either equipment or funds to buy things like cover crops. They even told me that this year they are struggling to buy any fertilizer or pesticides because last year's harvest was so bad. So this is the sort of thing that governments could consider investing in.
So is there the will for a new approach here that brings together experts from healthcare, from conservation, to solve this before we get another outbreak?
I think there are a lot of people who are starting to talk about this and who are, you know, particularly in the wake of COVID, saying, you know, we really need to start thinking about true prevention. So the conversation is starting. Is the will there? This is what I hope will materialize. I think my concern is that generally with any public health crisis, we see this cycle that, you know, it's known, it has a term for it in public health, which is a cycle of panic and neglect. You know, we all freak out after something bad happens. We say, oh, we can't do this again. We've got to write a bunch of reports on how to make sure we learn lessons. And then as an outbreak dies down and, you know, other things happen in the world, we move into the part of the cycle which is neglect, where we don't raise as much funds as experts tell us we're supposed to raise. And sort of the political and popular willpower sort of fades. And so I'm worried about that happening again now, post-COVID-19.
And right, and 10 years later, after the Ebola outbreak in Meliandu, you paint quite a dire picture of neglect, of abandonment. They're not any better prepared for a pandemic now.
Yeah, and I honestly, this was the saddest finding in my reporting, which is that I went to talk to the villagers both about what they experienced and how life is now. And they are very cognizant that if they were to get hit with any other disease today, you know, whether that is a new Ebola outbreak, Lassa fever that's in the region, COVID-19, that they are not any better resourced today than they were in 2013. They have one health clinic. There's no running water. There's no electricity. They have a midwife who runs that clinic, both for her village and a large number of surrounding villages. She's 25 years old. You know, she has a wooden cupboard with basic medications and not much else. And it is a source of frustration among the village, you know, talking to people there, including Emil's father. You know, his son was the first one who died. He also lost another child and his wife, who was pregnant at that time. You know, he's already been devastated, and he knows that if something were to come up again now, he can't protect his remaining children. And that is just incredibly frustrating and a source of bitterness.
Your story was about Ebola, but post-COVID-19, what is your larger point here about prevention and the response around the world to spillover viruses and deforestation?
Having talked to a lot of experts in the field, what I realized is that we should expect more outbreaks. There already are increasing year over year at this point in time. And if we don't change something about our approach to preventing and preparing for outbreaks, we're going to see more of them. So now is the time for us to really pay attention and hopefully change how we're addressing this problem.
That's Caroline Chen, ProPublica healthcare reporter and the lead author of a story titled "The Next Deadly Pandemic is Just a Forest Clearing Away." Caroline, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.